It never seemed to trouble those for whom it was a holy place. Places are natural, Sleepy. People are good and evil. You'll change your mind after you get there. I got a sneaking suspicion I'm gonna drown first. Do we gotta be out in this? You find a roof, I'll be glad to get under it. Big Thunder had begun fencing with swords of lightning. There would be hail before long. I wished I had a better hat. Maybe one of those huge woven bamboo things Nyingbo farmers wear in the rice paddies. I could just make out Riverwalker and the Radisha. I followed them, hoping they were following someone they could see. I hoped we did not have anyone get disoriented and lost. Not tonight. I hoped the guys from Simki were where they were supposed to be. Iqbal appeared in the gloom as the hail began to fall. He bent over to try to ease the sting of the missiles. I did the same. It did not help much. Iqbal shouted,
"Left, down the hill. There's a stand of little evergreens. Better than nothing at all."
Swan and I dashed that way. The hailstones kept getting bigger and more numerous as the thunder got louder and the lightning closer, but the air was cooling down. There's a bright side to everything. I slipped, fell, rolled, found the trees the hard way by sliding in amongst them. Uncle Doge and Goda, River and the Radisha were in there already. Iqbal was an optimist. I would not have called those darn things trees. They were bushes suffering from overweening ambition. Not a one was 10 feet tall, and you had to get down on your belly in the damp and needles to enjoy their shelter. But their branches did break the fall of the hailstones, which rattled and roared through the foliage. I started to ask about the animals, but then heard the goats bleating. I felt a little guilty. I do not like animals much. I had been shirking my share of their caretaking. Hailstones dribbled down through the branches and rolled in from outside. Swan picked up a huge example, brushed it off, showed it to me, grinned, and popped it into his mouth. "This is the life," I said. "When you're with the Black Company, every day is a paradise on Earth." Swan said,
"This would be a superb recruiting tool."
As those things always do, the storm went away. We crawled out and counted heads and discovered that not even Narayan Singh had gone missing. The living saint of the Stranglers did not want to leave us behind. That book really was important to him. The rain dwindled to a drizzle. We clambered out of the muck, many communing bluntly with their preferred gods while we formed up. We did not spread out much now, except for Uncle Doge, who managed to disappear into a landscape with almost no cover. Over the next hour we ran into several landmarks I recognized from Croker's and Mergen's annals. I kept an eye out for Slink and his companions. I did not see them. I hoped that was a good omen rather than a bad. The later it got, the more peachy it seemed to Narayan Singh. I was afraid he would curse us all by betraying a genuine smile. I considered mentioning his children's names just to let him know he was weighing on my mind. My divination skills were flawless. It was dusk when we reached the grove. We were all miserable. The baby would not stop crying. I was developing a